We serve an awesome God. Some of you weren't here on 2 weeks ago when I turned to this psalm, so I'm turning to it again. We got halfway through it, and we'll try and finish it today. But actually, we could stay in it for the rest of the year. In fact, we could stay in it for the whole of next year. It's so deep, it's so relevant, it's so helpful to us. Excuse me. Can you put up the next slide, please? We'll say these together. Okay, let's say it together. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever. The next slide. Only say it if you promise to do it, okay? Next slide. I will bless you. It's not just Sundays, is it? It's every day. So we saw God's greatness as the number one point there. And so the slide after that, let's look at that. That speaks of God's greatness, and we'll say it again. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Isn't that fantastic? This is good stuff. Then we looked at God's glory. Now, this is a massive, massive, massive subject. And throughout all eternity, God will be revealing his glory to us. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. In fact, whilst we're on God's glory, I know I should be going forward, but I'm going back because looking at God's glory is a good thing. In 2 Corinthians 3:17-18, listen to this. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It's a great question, isn't it? A loaded question. What is the glory of God? We had a little look at it. I'm just going to digress a bit and go back to this and say stuff I didn't say last week. But, you know, God still displays his glory in the heavens and earth as he always has done. That hasn't changed. One of the major displays of God's glory today is the work he does in ordinary people like you and me. I can see the glory of God in this house today. Hallelujah. It's radiating from you as God's people. So cheer up. It's not all bad. You might have had a lousy week, but Jesus is still your Savior. Things may have gone terribly wrong at work, but you know, the Lord is still on the throne and he's still exalted. And as you look to him today, you will be radiant. The radiance that Moses had when he went up a Mount Sinai was amazing. It was so powerful that people said, cover your face. So they covered it. They covered his face until eventually that radiance faded. But for us, as children of God, for us who are serving the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit within us. The Spirit of God is not just on a mountain somewhere, but he's in us. And therefore, if he's in you this day, just receive a fresh touch of the Lord on your life, because he wants to radiate his love, his grace, his goodness to others as he dwells in you. And as you surrender more and more to the Holy Spirit, you become a trophy of grace, more of a trophy of grace than you were before, in the sense that other people will recognize it. With Moses, it faded. With you, it's ever increasing, because the closer you come to God, the more of his Holy Spirit you have, the most wonderful joy will be seen. This loaded question, what is the glory of God? It's not a trick question, as Piper says. It's loaded because it has so many answers. How do you take the one who is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, eternal, holy, glorious, and try to wrap all that glory into an answer? It's hard to do, he said. And I'd agree, wouldn't you? Our God is an awesome God. And he says, I hope you see that God's glory goes far beyond even our human comprehension. I fully believe it will take eternity to fully understand and experience the wonder of God's glory. His closing thought is, he wants to point you to heaven, our eternal home. Here is a glimpse of the reality of the glory of God. So whatever you're thinking on right now, turn your eyes on this. Revelation 21. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy temple, the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is the lamp. We've got so much to look forward to, friends. Oh, death is gain for those that love the Lord. And he says, this closing thought, this is great. I don't understand it, but I'll say it anyway, because I keep looking at it and I get more from it. The glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of God's manifold perfections. Would you say amen to that? Yeah, well, some of you were not too sure, but there we are. It's good. It's the glory of God. That's what we looked at last week in a fresh way. We've looked at it this morning. Let's go to the next verse. Let's speak that out. Let's stand for this one. Because, you know, we can sit down in the... If you can stand, please stand. Let's say it together. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. Please be seated. I hope you've been doing that this week. Meditation is what you need if you want to be a servant of God and glorify his name. Okay. Then we began to look at God's goodness. Let's have that. God's good. Who knows that God is good? It's a quality that he has that is so awesome that when we think about it, we find ourselves being good and doing good. Isn't that great? Because you become like what you focus on. And if you focus on goodness, goodness will flow through your heart and through your life. Next slide. And we'll read this. Ah, this is lovely, isn't it? You can stay sat down. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. It's overwhelming, isn't it? This God, this goodness of our God. Oh, and we talked about showers of blessing coming upon us, showers of refreshing. And you've come today to be refreshed, and you won't go out disappointed because the Holy Spirit of God is here to help us, to refresh us, to inspire us as we faithfully follow the one who is the God of all creation. This is new stuff now. Verse 11, it's not on there, but verse 11, as we think of the goodness of God. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. Glory. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. What God does is glorious. And that's why when his people are in tune with him and receive from him that which they don't deserve, when God distills his grace into our lives, we begin to shine for him, and people will see the glory of God. For as truly as I live, the prophet said, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The church is growing. The church is getting bigger and bigger all over the world. There's a breakout of revival and blessing on God's people. And I tell you, more and more people are getting saved, so there's more and more glory on the earth. And more people who love the Lord are getting more and more of his grace in their lives daily and being filled with his spirit to inspire others and show others the way we should live. They will speak of your glory. What God does is glorious. They will tell the world of the lavish splendor of your kingdom and preach about your limitless power. I went to a theological day with Assemblies of God, and it was great. Some of it I understood. Some of it was way beyond me, but most of it was so anointed and blessed. One of the vice principals of the Assemblies of God Bible College was teaching on the doctorate that it took him 10 years to achieve. So he's now a doctor. I can't even remember his name, but he's a vice principal at our Bible College. Great guy. And he said, I've got half an hour to share the gospel with you. His doctorate was on the gospel. What a great You know, if you're going to study, why not do a doctorate on the gospel? How good is that? And so he shared with us in half an hour, he compressed his 10-year study into half an hour. Then he said, but I can compress it into three words. The gospel, Jesus is Lord. Wow. I was 14 when I knew that, without a 10-year study. And you can know it too, because at our church, on the back of the wall there, it said, Jesus is Lord. I've known that before. I didn't need to go to Bible college for that. I didn't need to do a doctorate, because the revelation of the Holy Spirit brought it to my heart. Would you receive it this morning? The gospel, Jesus is Lord. He's not just Savior, he is Lord. That's beautiful. I like what he said. And I used to love to go to the Free Trade Hall, which is no longer there. I don't think it is anyway. Did they knock it down? It's still there, is it? Okay, but it's not called the Free Trade Hall anymore, is it?
Hotel.
It's a hotel. There we are. The Free Trade Hotel. Okay, so you don't pay, you just enjoy being there. And Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was preaching. I remember vividly my uncle, and I said, Uncle Jack, you've got a brown shoe and a black shoe on. He said, oh, yes. He said, I've got a pair just like this at home. Put our shoes on. That's not what I was going to say. But Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he said, the gospel in a nutshell, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, you know, there's so much blessing in these words. Only God can transform you. Only God can change somebody who's dead and bring them to life. Somebody who's lost and they can be found. It's remarkable. It's what he can do for you. Somebody who's lonely can have the best fellowship on this planet because they come into the kingdom population. Verse 12 says, they will tell about your mighty deeds. We must go and tell. It's a command. The commission is not an afterthought. The Great Commission isn't an optional extra. We are to go and tell. Wayne Hudson, a wonderful evangelist in our town. In fact, he's got a do on Friday night. It's a Mexican thing to raise money for the crusades he's going to do. So it's going to be at New Life Church on Friday night, Friday the 13th. Take somebody who's feeling a bit under the weather because it's Friday the 13th. Or go to Nelson Street and watch whatever's happening there with Dave and Jill's daughter, Lucy, in an abandoned. Or go to, is it the New Life Church? The other New Life Church, where Pastor Ali Andrios, or whatever he's called, he's coming here next week, but he'll be there on Friday. So no point in being lonely or sad on Friday night. There's so much happening. Go and tell ministries, because what does Wayne Hudson do? He goes and he tells, just like Angela and Reggie at the back there. Van Dinter, love that name, Van Dinter. It sounds like you want to hire a car from him, doesn't it? But let's bless him, because he goes out once a month, and you can join him. Eddie and Julie did last week, and a couple and their children were looking for a new church because they've moved from South Africa, and they were here. This week, you're not here this week, are you? Last week they were here and we were blessed. Just go and tell and things will happen because you went and you told them about Jesus. Tell ministries. Verse 12 says, they will demonstrate for all to see your miracles of might and reveal the glorious majesty of your kingdom. In our home group, we were a week behind. We watched Rachel share on the good news of the life of Christ. And we spent lots of time, one of the best home groups I've ever enjoyed, because we're talking about the miracles, 30 miracles of Jesus, mighty, powerful miracles. And Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm still doing miracles. I'll do a miracle in your life if you need one. I will serve you. I will help you. That's what he came to do. And through his church, he brings his ministry and his life into all kinds of situations. Verse 13 says, for your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. Our God is not a puppet king. Isn't that great? We don't vote. Our Prime Minister, he wants to be voted in again, doesn't he, next year? Or Mr. Starmer is there wanting to take his place as the PM, and they need votes. Our God, it doesn't need votes. Hallelujah. Our God doesn't need your vote. He doesn't need the atheist vote. He doesn't need the Muslim vote. He doesn't need the Buddhist vote. He's already the ruler of the ages. Hallelujah. There's never been a time when he hasn't reigned. There's never been a time when he's lost control. There's never been a time when he's left his people abandoned. There's never been a time when he thought, oh, I'm a bit out of touch with these people at this moment. He's in touch with you. The reality is, not only does he love the world, but he loves you. And he knows everything about you. He knows what you're thinking now. He knows where you're going with your life. And he loves you with an everlasting and very special love. And then he says, the Lord always keeps his promises. How amazing is that? Some of you feeling the Lord's failed you, let you down. I remember my mother saying many times, oh, I'm disappointed with the Lord this week. When we say that, the Lord is disappointed with you and me, and we think we're disappointed with him, just because he doesn't do things our way. I remember going to Cyril Smith's funeral, and they played, I Did It My Way. Yeah, Cyril, yeah, we found out that you did it your way. We need to learn, friends, to do it his way, to give our lives to him, and he will fulfill the promises of his word in your life. I want you for a moment to think of Israel and how God fulfilled his promises. How, think of the church and how God fulfilled his promises. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came and the church was birthed, as we sang this morning. I want you to think about your individual life. Many of you have received promises from God that have not yet been fulfilled. Think about them. Just lift them up again to the Lord, because perhaps it's today. That Rhema word that was spoken 20 years ago, perhaps it's today. Carol and I have had many words spoken over our lives, and I believe it's today. I believe it's now. That time of multiplication, that time of enlargement, that time of growth is now, friends. See what God has said. What's he saying over your family? What's he saying over Hebron here? Let us believe him for the best. Let us believe him for the truth. The promise over your life. He's gracious in all he does. Verse 13 says, you are the Lord who reigns over your never-ending kingdom through all the ages of time and eternity. You are faithful to fulfill every promise you've made. Ah, this is the kindness. This is the gentleness of God. And another quality of our God, we'll go to it now. God's gentleness. But before we do, let's just say that thought together. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. I love the authorized, don't you? Beautiful. And so God's, next slide, gentleness. Let's say it together. God's gentleness. We've looked at his greatness. We've looked at his glory. We've looked at his goodness. We're now looking at his gentleness. Let's say that together. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. The Lord helps the fallen. On Sunday. On Friday night, I was at the health club. If I'm looking healthy today, it's because I've been to the health club. And you always talk to people there, whether it's in the sauna, the jacuzzi, or on the side of the pool. And this girl, I started speaking to her. She's called Leah. She's from Paris, and she's a student, university student. And she was on holiday with a friend who was with her on holiday in Manchester, in Rochdale. Can you believe that people come from Paris, that boring place, to a fantastic town like Rochdale to enjoy life? So I started sharing my, I asked her questions, found out she was a student. And then as I shared my story, she said, well, I'm a backslidden Christian. Isn't that amazing? We've got to go and tell friends. So I talked with her, I shared with her, and she said, well, God can't love me because I keep doing the same sin over and over again. So, you know, I can't go back to church. I said, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You can go back to the house of God and you can be forgiven. Has anyone here not repeated a sin again and again in their lives. Ooh. There you are. We're all sinners, aren't we? Saved by the grace of God. But God, pray for Leah, that God will touch her. She also told me that she's in university. I said, do you go to a CU? And that's how I started the conversation. And she said, or the middle of the conversation, and she said, we're in Paris and in France, we're not allowed to have CUs in university. Pray for France. And pray for our nation, friends, because that will soon come here with what's going on. In the world, pray for our Christian students. Pray for favor, for favor. Pray for favor, pray favor, for favor. And Joshua and Tom, whilst they're at university, that they'll be able to get with other Christians and make something happen that the devil doesn't want to happen. Go and tell. So God is good. God's gentleness. King David, who wrote this psalm, this beautiful psalm of praise, said, your gentleness has made me great. You see, however good or spiritual you might be, or you might think other people are, it's because of God's gentleness. It's not because they're super duper spiritual people. Often the opposite is the case. When you're feeling unworthy, you're feeling lousy, come to the house of God. When you're feeling that you shouldn't really be in this prayer meeting because you're not good enough, come to the prayer meeting. Because God wants us to be together. Because when we have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So you're going to go out washed today. Not only showered, you're going to be washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of God. How beautiful is that? God's gentleness. Oh, Psalm 37. Think of Leah, and she said, I can't come. She's sort of fallen. But I love what the psalmist says in 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. He delighteth in his way. He delights in his way. And though he fall, anybody fallen? He shall not be cast down. Meaning, in the Amplified, utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Have you fallen? The Lord's there. Like Peter sinking in the sea. Help me, Lord! So the Lord helped him. All you need to do is cry out, help, Lord. And he hears that prayer, that cry. Weak and feeble ones, you will sustain. Those bent over with burdens of shame, you will lift up. Can we go back to slide 10? Please, go back. Go back. Can you go back? Go back. I've missed it. No, carry on, go through them. Not that one, not that one, not that one, not that one. They're all very good, aren't they, these slides? That's the one. That's good, isn't it? If you fall, I feel God wants to speak to someone about that this morning. That's beautiful. Let's say it again to each other. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. You're bent today. I don't mean bent because you're a twister, but bent double with the weight and the burden of anxiety or depression or heaviness, or you can't pay the bills, you're struggling with the cost of living crisis, or family are going through a tough time at the moment. Some of you are going through experiences of grief and people who are dying that you love. Well, let me read to you this beautiful passage that Jesus spoke. You see, many times Jesus said, follow me. Come and follow me. But it's only this time he says, come to me. Come to me. Will you come to him this morning? Come to Jesus. It's not coming to church, it's coming to Jesus. The church can't save you. The pastor certainly can't save you. But come to Jesus. This is what he says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek, I am humble and lowly in heart. Gentle, one translation says. And you will find rest for your soul. Why? For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. God's not going to clamp you with a load of legalistic nonsense to make you be the kind of person he wants you to be. He's giving you the freedom of coming to him, to have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is Lord. Say it together. Jesus is Lord. It's beautiful. Are you weary? Are you carrying a heavy burden? Jesus says, come to me. He's saying it right now. I will refresh you. He says, I'm an oasis. I'm an oasis. Have you ever been in the desert, lost in the desert? My son-in-law is from the Sahara Desert, quite near. His dad works in the Sahara Desert. Can you imagine being lost in the desert and suddenly you see some palm trees? You go towards them and it was a mirage. Well, Jesus is no mirage. He is the real deal. He is the oasis in the wilderness. Simply join your life with him. That's what yoke together means. Come together. Be with Jesus for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Learn from me, he says. And you'll discover that I am gentle, humble, and easy to please. You will find refreshment in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to hear. This is in contrast to the heavy Pharisees who were putting legalistic, nasty rules and regulations upon them. Verse 15 says, if you have captured our attention and the eyes of all look to you, you give what they hunger for at just the right time. Carol and I took the grandchildren yesterday for a brunch. I'll tell you where it is because you don't want to go. Oh, no, I won't tell you. Carol won't let me tell you. But it's near Hollingworth Lake, and it overlooks Hollingworth. They've got chairs outside. Anyway, first of all, we get there. It took them ages to come to us. Secondly, they kept going outside to people who wanted to be in the cold and leaving the door open while they're out there. So I had to keep getting up and shutting that door. So annoyed I was. And then we got the menus, finally. Oh, we got the coffee. It was cold. So we sent it back. We don't like cold coffee. We like it hot. Thank you. I could get a tin of coffee from another shop. Then they bring the menu. Fish and chips. Somebody wanted fish and chips. Oh, we're not doing that anymore. Are you real? Are you real? Carol wanted, I'll tell you what Carol wanted. Listen to this. Pancakes with fruit tart on. Compost. Compost. Compote. Oh, I'm sorry, madam, we don't serve that anymore. It went on and on. I got my favourite meal, Eggs Benedict. I couldn't wait to tuck into it. The egg, instead of being runny and snotty as they should be, it was hard. They didn't get a tip. I tell you. But the Bible says this, friends. You give what they hunger for at just the right time. You see, what he gives is never undercooked. It's never overcooked. Sorry? Well, he's more spiritual than me. Zach, if you didn't hear that, Zach, our grandson, turned round and when we were going out, he said, thank you for everything. Liar. He's a lovely grandson. He's teaching me. He was happy. He was the only one who got what he wanted. And then we got the bill. Goodness me, we got the bill. Don't go there. Speak to Carol and me afterwards. Avoid that cafe. Used to be good when it was under a different name. Can I give the other different name? No, okay. But what God gives you, it's never burnt. It's always available. It's there for you. And contrast that, last evening, Carol realised how upset I was at this cafe. So she went to Marks and Spencer's and she brought out this delicious lamb, minted lamb, and Daphne potatoes. What are they? Sorry? Them as well. Yeah. Oh, Daphne was what I used to give to the tropical fish, wasn't it? I knew I had Daphne in my head somewhere. And I'm sitting down at our new table and chairs, and that was the real deal, okay? And God says to you, starving soul today, come to me. Solid certainty. Starving soul, look to Jesus. Jesus himself said, blessed, happy, say happy. Happy. I can tell those are happy. Say happy.
Happy.
Say miserable.
Miserable.
Yeah, okay. Jesus said, happy, blessed are you when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you shall be filled. You should go away full today. You should go away. You came hungry, but when you come to Jesus, whether it's physical food you need, spiritual food, sustenance, he'll give you all the spiritual nutriments you need to help you through your life as you feed on his word, feed on the bread of heaven every day. Angel delight was not only good for them in the desert. We can have angel delight today because God's voice has spoken. God has spoken, and he uses his word to bring us more and a greater understanding of that. I'm going to close. God's hand is full. It's open. Will you please make sure your mobiles are turned off during the service, especially during the sermon? Mrs. Cork. Okay. God's hand is full of delicacies and bounty, but we have to come. And when we come with a clean heart, he'll open his hand. His kingdom is at hand. He will satisfy you. He will slake your thirst. When you open your generous hand, one translation says, it's full of blessing, satisfying the longings of every living thing. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. Shall we say that together? Let's stand. And then if you want to come forward for prayer, for salvation, to come to Jesus, Jesus says, come to me. If it's healing, if it's help, if you need £20, come forward, because somebody has a need of £20 today. I'm sensing, I felt that drop into my heart before the meeting. And so if you come, you'll get it. Don't just come in for the wrong reasons. If you can't pay your electricity bill, you know, you might need £20 to top it up. Okay. Let's do this, and then James will come. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Amen. God bless you.